This is the Should Have Bet More podcast, presented by Goal Boys Network. Here's your host, Will Hill.
Welcome to the Should Have Bet More podcast, presented by Goal Boys. Coming up on the show, Gail Alexander of A Numbers Game will join us. We will go over the Philadelphia Eagles, the winner, and the new champions of the world here, the Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles, for the second time in 8 years here. Hold up a trophy, absolutely dominate the Chiefs 40-22. So we'll get Gil's thoughts on the game. There's not much to talk about. Usually in these big games, you can pick a point where controversial coaching decision, controversial call, turning point of the game, and you can kind of dissect it, give an opinion. They should have gone for it. They shouldn't have. Good call, bad call in terms of a ref. Turning point, was his knee down here? Was knee down? This was Mike Tyson versus Spinks. This was a knockout, and I know Philly went not 3-and-out, but they punted on their first drive after the completion. AJ Brown was called back. The Chiefs went 3-and-out. So these teams traded punts early on, but after that, and again, Philly got the ball up 7-0 and threw a pick when it looked like they were about to put the game away. But as somebody who picked the Chiefs, and I admit it all week, I know the Phillies got the better team, the better roster. I just can't go against Mahomes. And I can put my head on the pillow at night. Mahomes has won for me plenty. So he was allowed one to, and I don't put this game on him barely at all. I thought the offensive line just could not block for him. He was running for his life at all. But going down with Mahomes is something you can stomach if you've had him during this run more than you haven't, then it's something you can live with. But I think I felt pretty early on, boy, I think I'm on the wrong side of this because Mahomes just doesn't have any time to throw. Philly wasn't great on offense. It's not like Barkley ran wild. Hurts was good, but he threw a pick. He wasn't perfect. It's just when your defense is going to dominate and you hold a team to one first down through the first half, Kansas City didn't cross midfield until garbage time, and you're picking the ball off. You're picking the ball off for scores. You're setting up short fields. Your offense doesn't have to be great. Their offense was good. Their offense wasn't great, but it didn't need to be great. This, to me, was all about the Philly front four, and they just dominated. Kansas City didn't have the tackles to hold up, and the game could just never get off the ground here for Kansas City. And Kansas City was dominated to start to finish. And look, we were going to play the results no matter what. If the Chiefs won, I would have come on here and said, well, you can't look at the Chiefs' regular season results, even though they were 15-1 in games that mattered. Their stats weren't great, but you could throw all that out because they find ways to win and they have this extra gear in the playoffs, and a lot of that would have been true. And the fact that they lost, you can go the other way and say, well, and this is true too, they got lucky in a lot of these games. They could have lost to the Bengals. They could have lost to the Ravens that opening night on Thursday where the tip of the toe was out of bounds, I think likely on a touchdown that would have set up, it looked like Baltimore was going to go for 2 to win that game. Denver back in, it was early November because I was driving home from Cooperstown during that game where Denver's about to kick a chip shot field goal, beat them, somehow gets blocked. Kansas City wins that game. Kansas City had a ton of these games. And again, this is you're just going back and I don't even want to say reordering how you're looking at it or restructuring how you're looking at it. They were outgained in terms of yards per play. So their stats weren't Super Bowl-esque. They weren't 15-1, 15-2-esque, but they won, and they had Mahomes, and they've won in the past, so you just kind of gave them a pass on it. So whichever way it was going to go, you were going to figure out a way to explain it. And the Chiefs here, it was very similar to the Bucs game 4 years ago, the 2020, the COVID one that was in Tampa, where it was just clear early on Mahomes had no chance. When he did have chances, he wasn't great. I wouldn't say none of this was on him. He made some bad throws, but he was just off early. They had no running game. He was under pressure. He was getting linemen pushed into him. And I'm sure people can listen and say, oh, when Mahomes wins, he gets all the credit, but when he loses, it's other people's fault. Well, kind of. I mean, he is that good where and he put together 22 complete garbage points at the end of the game. This 40-2 final, completely misleading. It was closer to 40-0. And it mattered if you're playing team totals or in-game stuff, man. That was some strange end-of-the-game stuff where Philly puts in Pickett. They throw a pass instead of punting, and all of a sudden, the Chiefs are getting a garbage touchdown after a couple garbage touchdowns before that. But the bottom line, give credit to Philly. And let's look at it from Philly's perspective for a little bit, because usually – when a team wins the Super Bowl, all right, the quarterback, now you talk about him as a Hall of Famer. You talk about the coach as a great coach. You got to give him a bump. You got to give him their respect, and you just look at it big picture. They were in the Super Bowl 2 years ago, coin flip game, could have won, and we're not that far away from Sirianni being a two-time Super Bowl champion coach, which is strange to say, and we're not too far away from Hurts being a two-time Super Bowl champion quarterback, but they've been here twice. They've won it once. It's just interesting the trajectory of being in the Super Bowl 2 years ago, losing a coin flip game, 11-1 last year. Then the season completely falls apart, embarrassed against Tampa in the playoff game. People wanted to fire Sirianni. The beginning of the season when he had just a terrible stretch of decisions against the Falcons on Monday night where they blew that game. You know, it was week two, and then he had some strange decisions against the Saints in week three, even though they won that game. But they lose to Tampa in week four, and they've lost one game since. So 15-1, now 16-1 since October 1st. That's about as good as it gets. And I've been saying it all year. Really good offensive line, two top 15 or 20 receivers. Looks like the best back in the league with McCaffrey taking a step back. He certainly was that this year in Barkley. Hurts is a top 10-ish quarterback. Goddard's a good tight end and a defense that has really elevated to being elite. Now, 2 years ago, they made the Super Bowl. They were not elite. It was more of a product of the schedule. This year, it was, boy, they drafted DeJean. They drafted these Georgia guys. They had a monster pass rush, and they didn't have to blitz at all. They were able to disrupt Mahomes with just four guys. And that's a hell of a team in a salary cap era where there's no great teams in football. That is a really good, really deep roster. And I got a text. Our buddy Bear, Chris Felica, sent me a text Saturday night. I kind of wish I'd gotten this before. I don't think it would have changed who I picked, and I don't want to sit here and backtrack. Anyway, because look, I prefaced every Kansas City pick with saying, I know Philly's got the better team, but I can't go against Mahomes. Bear sends me a text that, hey, I'm at the Super Bowl. A couple people close to Andy Reid, I guess is how he put it, that people that are close to Reid think are saying that Reid is very concerned about this matchup. His offensive line, their offensive line, he's just very concerned that they don't match up well with Philly. And, you know, take that for what it's worth. And you never know. And that, not that you're going to make a pick or not make a pick based on that, but certainly turns out to be right. And again, you never know. You get a text like that and say, well, that's just a coach being nervous. Of course, he's not going to be overconfident. He's not going to be disrespectful to his opponent. But maybe the context of that was more, I should have been more alarmed by it than I should have. Not that it helps anybody now to sit here and say, oh, by the way, you know, the coach thought they were going to lose. So it doesn't help you guys as listeners now to get that information. I didn't get it till, you know, between podcasts. I would have relayed that had I heard it. Just an interesting message to get. And it's the truth. I mean, they just got dominated. Again, they didn't get dominated by Barkley. They really didn't. Barkley was held in check. Hurts was good. He wasn't great. They moved the ball. They made plays when they needed to. It's not like Kansas City was great on defense, great defensively. Kansas City didn't create any short fields or anything. They picked Hurts off the one time at 7-0 that to keep him out of the end zone. But this was just a foregone conclusion. This was a complete bloodbath. And for a Philly team that really didn't dominate down-to-down against Green Bay, didn't dominate down-to-down against the Rams. It was all turnover-based. Well, maybe these turnovers, and there's always some luck with them, but maybe it wasn't all luck because they're really good on both sides of the ball, really good at making you play under pressure from an offensive standpoint with their pass rush and just a dominating win. And I do wonder, who's the sickest right now? Are the Bills sick thinking, man, how do we lose to this team? I don't think so because, again, there were five fumbles in that game. The Bills recovered all five. That was a thorough Kansas City win. I think the team that kind of just be sick to their stomach a little bit, Baltimore pissed a lot of games away early in the season. They could have lost to the Chiefs, or they could have beaten the Chiefs. They didn't. They lost week two to the Raiders at home when they had a big lead. They just let a few of these games get away where if they were able to get this game at home. Now, I know they had it at home, or they had home field last year against the Chiefs, and the Chiefs went in there and won. So maybe this year would have been the same thing. But the Ravens have to watch this and say, geez, we were better than this team. Bills maybe even look at this and say we were better than this team. But, hey, it's a single elimination. Better doesn't matter. You get the hand you're dealt. And, you know, the Chiefs were in this position. They got the one seed. They found their way to the Super Bowl. But I was thinking about that earlier where pretty much anybody would have put up a better fight. You would think, I mean, who knows? Philly went into Baltimore and won pretty convincing. Not convincingly, but the game was somewhat competitive. Tucker missed a bunch of kicks. I was just wondering, you know, as your mind starts to wonder during these blowouts, you know, what could have been if the season played out differently. And I think I closed the show with this on Friday that we got used to all these close games in Super Bowls, all these close Super Bowls where the Chiefs always play good ones, except for the Bucks won. And you just look at the last 20, 25 years, there's a Seahawks Broncos once in a while. There's a Bucks Chiefs once in a while. There was, you know, obviously in the mid-90s, early 90s, just growing up, there's Chargers, 49ers will blow up, Bills, Cowboys will blow up. But the last 20, 25 years, mostly all good games. And this is just, I guess we're kind of due for a flop. Every 4 or 5 years we get a flop. It's better than the other way around where every 4 or 5 years, it felt like the other way around where bad game, bad game, bad game. And once every 4 or 5 years, you get a good game. This is, we've got accustomed to good games in the Super Bowl. Last year went to overtime. 2 years ago, it was tied with 10, 15 seconds left, and the Chiefs kick a field goal to win it 38-35. We've gotten really good games all in all. And this was just a dud, and the Chiefs kind of due to pick off. And the last thing before we get to Gil, I wonder, you know, it's funny. You could tell me the Chiefs are going to be right back here next year. It's Mahomes. It's Andy Reid. They're in the Super Bowl or around the Super Bowl every year. They've at least made the AFC title game every year with Mahomes, which is just incredible. At some point, he's going to hit a stretch, a year, 2 years, 3 years, where he's not in the Super Bowl, where they're like losing the wild card round, where they lose the division. Now, maybe he's going to play 20 years, and he's going to go to the AFC title game or the Super Bowl and all, you know, all 18 or all 20, which doesn't seem possible, but doing what he's done so far doesn't seem possible. Brady and the Patriots, they won it in 2001. Then they won it 2003, 2004. They won 3 in 4 years. They made it look easy. And you know what? They went a decade between winning it again. They went from 2004 and didn't win it again until 2014. They lost to the Giants a couple times in between, got picked off in the AFC title games a bunch of times in between. And they needed Malcolm Butler to save them with that interception to even win that one. You wonder if you're ever going to reach a point where we look back in 3 or 4 years and say, man, the Chiefs used to be in it every year. They missed their window, or they're not that they missed their window because they still won 3 of them and they've been to 5. But you wonder if the Chiefs ever cool off. If you've ever, you know, Andy Reid retires and moves on, the roster isn't good enough, Mahomes has an injury at some point one of these years. You never know if it's the last time, not the last time he's going to be there, but that doesn't seem possible. But I guess that is possible where it doesn't seem that. This way, this night, you just assume Mahomes is going to be back next year or the year after, and he's going to be right in the mix. But again, you never know. You would have never thought the Patriots would go 10 years without winning one. You would have never thought Rodgers would win one that early in his career and never be back. By the way, not going to be back with the Jets as we learned Sunday. Obviously, the whole thing with Marino. So he's just in, you know, Burrow made it as a young player his second year. He hasn't been back. Who knows when, if he'll be back. So you just never know with this stuff. You just never know with this stuff. And you know, they're the short shot. They're one of the short shots. The Eagles are 6-1 next year. Chiefs, Bills, Ravens, all 7-1. They'll probably be back in the mix. But again, you never know. You never know when you're going to look back at 3 or 4 years and say the Chiefs just haven't been back since this year. So you figure law of averages is coming at one point. And, you know, Mahomes just an incredible player. Bad night. I know Brady was talking about, you know, you lose the Super Bowl, it sticks with you forever. You can't sleep at night. I understand some of that, but all the Super Bowls Brady lost were heartbreakers to the Giants. That one to the Eagles was a close game. He lost some tough ones. Do you lose a game like this? I've never played in the Super Bowl, but this is one where you were just outclassed, completely dominated. I don't know how you look at this and say, oh, man, I don't know how we lost this game, or this is going to stick with me forever. To me, this would be kind of an easy one to get over, where you were just, you were not the better team. Philly was a much better team. Philly's a rightful, deserving champion, an absolutely outstanding team, and they just kicked your ass. I mean, if you're Kansas City, you got your ass kicked. I don't know how you can lament too much of an ass kicking. You just didn't have a good roster. You couldn't block them. You kind of patch it together with scotch tape a little bit. Oh, bring in Hollywood Brown, and we'll patch together the offensive line, and we'll running back by committee. They don't have anyone where, and I know Worthy scares you a little bit with his speed. Kelsey's older. They got moved on from Hill a few years ago. Now they won it twice without him and made a third Super Bowl without him. But you get the idea. They don't have anyone. They don't have a Barkley. They don't have an A.J. Brown. They don't have anyone that scares the death out of you. And they regressed a little bit defensively this year. They were okay on defense, but they weren't great. So that's sort of the autopsy on Kansas City. You assume they'll be back next year, but who the hell knows with this stuff? It's the NFL. It's a short season. It's a single elimination. So we will get ready for the offseason. Not going to just ignore football. With the draft, free agency, football is always going to be something we keep our eye on. But with the season ending, start to turn the page a little bit towards other stuff, like I mentioned, college basketball, NBA, baseball preview. So before you know it, we're going to be look up, and there's going to be, as we sit here, February 10th, 3 weeks away. 3 weeks away from the beginning of conference tournaments in March Madness. And once you get going with March Madness, boom, into baseball, into spring, NBA playoffs, and we get back on get back in terms of a good position with the sports calendar. I don't mind February, just in terms of, I don't like it as a fan, but I, from doing this show, there's just a lot of freedoms where I could do a baseball show. I could do a show on college basketball or the NBA. There's a lot more variety this time of year, but before we know it, March Madness, that's as good a time as any, and you get back into baseball. So good days ahead, starting to get a little lighter later, but we say goodbye to the football season that starts. And with the 2 weeks in between, it does feel like football season ends. So it's not as sad ending tonight. It felt like it ended 2 weeks ago. And this long gap between games, then you have one game and then it kind of ends. Again, it felt like it ended a couple weeks ago. So the Eagles are champions. Congratulations. An absolute domination. A score that was misleading at 40-22. That was nowhere near as close as an 18-point game. That was just a complete ass-kicking by Philly, who wins their second title in 8 years. And give them credit, too. I mean, this is different quarterback, different coach than their last champion. There's just a really good organization, really good at evaluating talent. To do it in different forms with different teams is very impressive. Good with the draft, good in free agency, just really kind of a model franchise right now in the NFL. But to discuss this game a little bit further, let's get Gil Alexander on. That is next. This should have been more podcast. All right, we are back. Should have been more podcast. Let's recap the Super Bowl. He was on last year to break down a classic. This year, we are not as fortunate. I think we're both just as disappointed with the result because last year we were rooting for San Francisco. I know you were, Gilly. But Gil Alexander beating the book Megapod, a numbers game. What's going on, man? I guess I'll start with this. I closed my open Friday with the idea that we've gotten spoiled. We've gotten used to having these close Super Bowls. And when I was a kid in the 90s, it was a lot of Bills, Cowboys. It was a lot of Chargers, 49ers, Falcons, Broncos. And, you know, you kind of never know where we're used to this being close, but we're not guaranteed anything. And we certainly got a dud tonight.
Thank you, first of all, for having me on the Should Have Wagered an Additional Amount podcast. Appreciate that. Now I have deep regrets about not having done so. That was very prescient of you, actually. And that's exactly what we ended up having. My sort of equivalent to that was that while I was on the Chiefs and while on a numbers game on VSiN, while we had a pretty even breakdown of Chiefs backers and Eagles backers, which is very reflective of the general market in this game, that I tried for every person who had the Chiefs, right? Including myself, because I was the first one who would say it. I said, I have the Chiefs, but if I come to you from the future and it's a blowout, it's the Eagles who did the blowing out. And I tried to get everybody who had the Chiefs to admit that if it was a blowout, it would be authored by the Eagles. And I'm pretty sure everyone to a man agreed with that, which then tells you what an odd team this Chiefs team really ends up being historically, right? 17 in a row, one score victories, which, by the way, is a streak that's still intact, you know, 12 of them this year. And yet, Will, one of the worst Super Bowls, despite the score, right? Despite the cosmetic final score, it just like the Buffalo-Washington Super Bowl was 37-24 in the end, this being 40-22 is just like that game. It was not nearly as close as that final score indicates. This was a comprehensive blowout.
Yeah, it was closer to 40-0 than it was 40-22. And you just think about just down to down. I think it was like late third quarter where Kansas City finally crossed midfield. Kansas City had one first down at the half. Again, we're recording this at like minutes after. Hurts has just been named the MVP. So it's not like I've had a chance to examine the breakdown. And I'll probably talk about this a little more in a couple of days when I've had time to reflect on it. But this is just sort of instant reaction where this was never a game, and you kind of know this. And look, we were in a group thread where Wishnev and Barron Bunch was like, oh, Chiefs team total under, I think it was 17.5. They're not going to score. But we all know, we've all seen this before, when you're up this much, the defense kind of relaxes, the pass rush kind of relaxes, they start pouring Gatorade on each other. And boy, that was a strange sequence. Again, you only care if you're betters, but fourth and six, they put Pickett in after right around the 2 minute warning, run, run, run. Then fourth and six from midfield, you figure punt, everybody just kind of goes home. They run the ball, every team runs the ball, and we go home. Pickett throws it, and all of a sudden, it's Mahomes at midfield. He's throwing the ball, a mile, and that happens. So, again, nobody cares except for betters, but that was just one of the weirder sequences at the end of the game you can ever remember.
That is the ultimate no one cares but betters. But that there was absolutely no reason for the Eagles to go for that fourth down. So, yeah, I mean, this is the thing also about the Super Bowl. So I had very few bets until today. And then I just did like a rash of prop bets. And then we were all together when we were doing in games. And every good thing that happened to me in a prop bet was quickly taken away by some ridiculousness. So, you know, D-Hop, I had D-Hop over 1.5 catches. He had dropped that miserable pass early. On the touchdown, he gets his second pass, his second catch. So I'm like, ah, yes, finally. But then I had an in-game on the Eagles, you know, threatening to sort of middle myself. And when they got the 2-point conversion, that knocked out one of them. Then the picket thing, because I had over 1.5, over 2.5 passers, 2.5 players to attempt a pass. And for no reason at all, they go ahead and they have Pickett throw a pass. And I'm like, wow, that's big plus money. And then the next play, Mahomes goes 50, and I lose another Eagles in game. So it's like, it was just completely Michigan at the end of that.
I think they just wanted to get him on the stat sheet, because if you just come in and hand the ball, I mean, who knows how long Pickett's going to be in the league. It's just kind of a gesture of like, hey, you say you're in the Super Bowl box score forever. I'm guessing it was that, because I don't know what other reason. And the announcers kind of glossed over it, and the broadcast is a whole other thing. I don't know if you want to mention anything about that, but the broadcast is a whole other thing.
I do. I want to mention something. Tom Brady's not very good at this. And I don't mean that he's not very good technically, because obviously he has more technical skill and knowledge than any other human on earth, maybe. Right. Like, you know, in the moments where he's great and insightful, and it's usually not during a broadcast, it's usually when he's being interviewed by somebody on some show midweek, where he explains about pre-snap versus post-snap and how he's able to, suss things out. But during a broadcast, the forced humor is so difficult to listen to and distracting. And I just think he is just not anyone's favorite. Let's put it that way.
I will say that just the nature of it, like Olsen was good. Olsen had time to come up through like the D group, the C group, the B group. There was a natural just sort of progression, like being in the minor leagues where you started A ball, double A, single A, then eventually you're in the triple A, then eventually you're in the majors. Like we were both new ones. I remember being new, like the fact that they just, and I know it's because he's Tom Brady, it's a name, the fact that they just throw him into the A group right away. Hey, first year you're on the Super Bowl. It's not fair to him, but that's just kind of the nature of it, where they want the big names and they're just going to throw him to the Wolves right away.
Well, another one of those guys is Gronk. Have you seen Gronk on the pregame shows? And it's so hard to watch. You're just, it's like, yeah, but that's a whole nother matter. That was sort of a sidebar to the game, but it's, you know, I'm more, the thing about this, let me just say, so when I do guessing lines on a numbers game every week and into the postseason, when a game is particularly good, like my notes can be super chunky, super long. This might be one of the shortest things I've had all year, and it's the freaking Super Bowl. Like, there just isn't that much to say. This was just such a beatdown. I guess the most interesting thing to me, not to step on to your questioning on the podcast, but does it cause you to sort of rethink how you had all these teams rated all year?
Interesting question. I was texting about it with somebody else too. I think the team that is kicking themselves the most is Baltimore, because they pissed away so many games early that it cost them home field. They had to go to Buffalo. They lost in Buffalo, cold weather in their territory. I think this makes Buffalo look worse, because Kansas City struggled against Houston, like just yards, box score. That was a pretty even game. They got some breaks. That game shouldn't have been as lopsided as it was, even though it was only, I think, a 9-point margin. Kansas City beat Buffalo by 3, but took a knee on the fringe of the red zone. There were 5 fumbles in that game, all recovered by Buffalo. That was kind of a sneaky domination by Kansas City. I think that shows how limited Buffalo was. The team to me, I think, is Baltimore. I know they were shaky on defense, but I think if they go back and you play the season, I don't know, 10 times, 100 times, whatever, Baltimore maybe gets the top seed. And if Baltimore, Kansas City are playing in Baltimore this year, now get some of this is playing the results, and Kansas City went in there in last year and won, but I just think Baltimore was probably the team that, man, Kansas City got lucky and Baltimore was probably the more talented team. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, I think I had Baltimore as my top team all year long. And I do think they have the most to be upset about as a full season. Aaron Schatz had Baltimore rated as the number one team through DVOA. Somebody pointed out on Twitter though, you know, I had the 3 AFC teams in whatever order, right? Baltimore, Buffalo, Kansas City as my top 3, and then all 7 NFC postseason teams, right? Could it have been that this sort of, and again, it is one football game, but it does make you think, was the AFC actually not as top heavy as I thought? In other words, were Detroit and Philly and Washington actually you know, and the Rams, by the way, who were the closest to beating the Eagles. But by the way, that's the other thing. You pointed that out about last week, how the Kansas City game last week against Buffalo was a sneaky domination. People, you know, when we watch these games, people don't process it with their brains. Sure. Buffalo fumbled four times. They recovered all of them. Washington fumbled three times against Philly, didn't recover any of them. Washington was actually with the ball down 34-23 in the third quarter before the Austin Eckler fumble. That game ends up being cosmetically a blowout, but it actually wasn't either. This was the blowout, right? This was the Super Bowl was the blowout against the Chiefs. And so it's just fascinating in the end that you have a moment to step back now and be like, wow, I'll just speak for myself. Could I have been so wrong about the pecking order at the top, I guess? And is Kansas City singularly responsible for that?
Yeah, and it's funny. Again, we always play the results with this stuff. If Kansas City had won, we would have said, well, the regular season stats don't matter. They have a different gear. Kansas City in the playoffs is a whole different thing. And then if they lose, we'll say, well, we knew they were lucky all along. So it's tough. It's tough. It's but look, if you bet Mahomes and you lost, you bet Kansas City and you lost, and you've been riding this whole time, you know what? You've been making plenty of money. You can afford one loss, and they earn the right to, hey, let me see them lose a game before I pick against them. I think that people that lost with Mahomes, with the Chiefs, can kind of fall on their sword enough. You know, just kind of live with the result. It's funny you mentioned having notes and taking notes. I wanted to do the same thing. And usually I do them mentally more than anything, but this is like, hey, it's a Super Bowl. We're going on right after. Let me start taking notes. You want to know as far as I got?
Yeah, like literally.
I texted them to myself. I'm going to pull them up right now.
I'm going
to
say you gave up at the beginning of the third quarter, like barely into the third.
No. I have four words worth of notes, and then there was nothing else to talk about. First two shaky calls. So the AJ Brown offensive pass interference, and then I guess they called it roughing on. It was a Kansas City was on defense. Yes. And it extended a drive. So both, one went for Kansas City. And I'm sure all the people that bet the Eagles are like, here we go again. Chiefs getting every calls. Brown did hit the face mask. And the other one I thought was softer. So one went against Kansas City. One went for Kansas City. That's about as much as I can get to in terms of a turning point, because it was just a bloodbath from there. But did you have any thoughts on either of those calls?
No, I think I have those exact things in my notes from early in the game. As a Chiefs backer, I was actually pissed at that point. Right. Because both of the AJ Brown one, which Eagles fans were screaming about, he actually did hit the defender in the face. I think it was McDuffie. He actually did hit Trent McDuffie in the face. The Eagles, the reverse one on the next drive, where the Chiefs were flagged, was a drive extender, where the Chiefs ended up scoring their first touchdown, and then there was a subsequent drive where the Chiefs had like a second and 26, and they called, I think it was Bolton, for not really hitting Barkley that hard after a pass. And that extended an Eagles drive. And at that point, I'm like, wow, all the Chiefs officiating luck is coming home to roost in one game. But then it got so bad, none of that even mattered, right? It was just like, oh, just the game is fucked anyway. So it's, you know, it's funny because that feels like it was 3 years ago, the first part of that game. When you actually felt worked up about something. I think the point for everybody, though, where you knew, I think the point, you sussed it out very quickly, but the point where it went from, well, this might still be a thing, to, oh no, this might be a blowout, is Cooper DeJean's pick six made it 17-0. And then if you'll remember, even at that point, Kansas City got the ball back at the end of the second quarter, and it's like, okay, if they can figure out a way to actually, let's start with the first down, right? If they can figure out a way to do anything, there is theoretically a double dip opportunity here that could get them back in the game. Yeah. But the problem is when you can't block, and they're not even blitzing, right? The Eagles are not blitzing. So there's no, like, any thought of a double dip immediately went out the window, because then Zach Bond picked off the ball. And then at that point you knew, oh, this game is over. Like, this thing's done. And they scored on the second play. 24-0. It's exactly like, it's not exactly, but it's so similar to that Buffalo Washington Super Bowl, where Washington was up 17-0, and Kurt Covea has a pick six early in the second half, and it's like, this game's over too. That was up there with the worst blowouts of all time. It really was, despite the final score.
Reminding me more of, I mean, I was too young for the Bucks Redskins or Bills Redskins one. It reminded me more of Bucks Chiefs, where there's just a fundamental problem of, oh, They can't block them. And I, even when they traded three and out, I was starting to get a weird feeling today that, and look, when you picked, I picked the Chiefs, I picked the Chiefs on every show. I don't want to sit here and, you know, take victory laps, because I had a feeling early on that I might've been wrong, but I did start to have a feeling like, man, I just, and I'll be honest, I had a feeling like that with the Bills a couple weeks ago. So I felt like maybe the Chiefs were just due to get picked off, but you know, they traded three and outs, and I just didn't like the way it looked. It looked helter skelter. Mahomes didn't have time to throw. Philly, I thought, just looked more comfortable. So I kind of felt early on that Philly, you know, had a chance to maybe pull away in this game.
Yeah. Jason Weingarten is texting a stat. I want to see if this is relevant at all. Well, I can't get it up on the screen somehow. But yeah, I don't know. It's football is the ultimate small sample size sport, right? It's not like baseball where you have 162 data points. The cream will rise, right? The bad teams will eventually find their way down. It's literally 20, you know, it's you play 18, you play 17 regular season games, you get a couple playoff games. And here it is. Here's from Next Gen Stats. The Eagles did not blitz once across 42 dropbacks in Super Bowl 59, just the fourth defense to not blitz in a game in the Next Gen Stats era. I'm not sure what that stats era is, but that's not fourth Super Bowl. That's fourth game ever. Relying on their front four, the Eagles generated 16 pressures and sacked Mahomes six times, his most in a game in his career. That deficit at 40-6 was also the largest deficit in Mahomes' career as well. And it's like what Todd even mentioned. This is like the only time we've ever seen Mahomes in garbage time in our whole lives. So it was weird all around.
Any of the Eagles guys, do you look at any of the Philly guys differently? Sirianni, Hurts. I know this is kind of what we do in, like, you know, in the media. That's just what people do. Oh, Hurts win. Now he's a great quarterback. Sirianni won. Now he's a Super Bowl winning coach, which, look, he is. He's been to 2 and 3 years. He was, you know, people wanted to fire him after last year, beginning of this year. Now he's won a championship. Anybody on Philly you look at differently, or this was just a situation where it's a loaded team and they were just a really good roster top to down and nothing changes for you?
No, I mean, you got to give them credit. Howie Roseman is probably the MVP, right? I mean, that defense is fantastic. But Jalen Hurts deserves a lot of credit. But by the way, the Chiefs did succeed in one thing. They're like, we are not going to let Saquon Barkley beat us. So congratulations to the Chiefs, because they succeeded in that. But Jalen Hurts, man, deserves the credit. You know, sort of cast aside at Alabama in favor of Tua. He couldn't have handled it in a more gentlemanly fashion. He surprised a lot of people, if we go back in time, to how well he then played at Oklahoma. Then he got drafted early second round, and everybody, including myself, believed it to be a reach based on what the draft intel was at that time. And, you know, because they remember, I think that was the draft, they drafted Jalen Reagor early in the first.
Overdraft, you know, absolutely, ahead of Justin Jefferson.
Yeah, overdrafted Jalen Reagor. They overdrafted Hurts. And Hurts is now, as you said, this is their second Super Bowl in 3 years. So this is not no longer a fluky thing. This is a really good football team that now has won a Super Bowl. And so, you know, you go to the my old adage, you only win a Super Bowl with a guy on a rookie deal or a guy who's a Hall of Famer. The Hall of Fame part is a bit self-fulfilling, right? Because Eli Manning became a Hall of Famer because of the Super Bowl, or will be, if you believe that he'll get inducted next year or the year after. Jalen Hurts might fall into that category. Like, I don't think I've ever thought of Jalen Hurts as a Hall of Fame quarterback, but if you go to enough Super Bowls and you win enough, it's not really a debate, right? It's like getting 3,000 hits.
Yep, 100%. It becomes a longevity issue, and if he ever gets to another one or wins one more, he's pretty much a lock. Mahomes and the Chiefs, they're going to be right back in this game next year, or do we eventually reach a point where, and Brady, this happened to Brady, this happened to the Patriots, where they're winning, it looks easy, they're winning, it looks easy, then all of a sudden, he went a decade without winning one. Do we ever get to that point with Mahomes where we look back in 3-4 years and say, man, Mahomes hasn't been there in 3 years or 4 years, or they're just going to be right back next year?
I'm going to say, and at the risk of this being in the moment, but I'm going to say that they have smoke and mirrored this for long enough. That while they have Patrick Mahomes and he is, you know, epically generational player, that Andy Reid's going to coach one more year, right? Probably one more year. The Kelseys of the world are old. They're not going to have their superpowers anymore. I just don't know if they are. Now, their defense is always a little underrated, right? The defense is good. So they have restocked there. But I don't know, offensively, they are just, I mean, Mahomes can only do so much. They've
scotch
got,
tape, little scotch tape-ish.
Yeah, they got to get players for them to, like, be a serious thing. But they're in, you know, but the Josh Allen, as I always say, is the best play the Bills have is Josh Allen still tucking it under and running. And so I'm just saying that they get back to your Ravens. That gets back to your Ravens point, right, which is how does that team not get to the Super Bowl? So, yeah, I mean, in that respect, you look at if you go into next year, you're thinking, who are you more optimistic about as a group? The Eagles, Bills, and I guess we'll throw the Ravens in there too. Or do you look at the Lions and the Redskins, excuse me, the Commanders and the Eagles and say, wow, those three teams can only get better. And I think it's the latter, right?
Yeah, it's interesting. I was going to go over the odds with you and just kind of throw them at you, see if anything jumped out to you. But unless Mahomes, I call him a kid, he's, I think he's 29 or 30 now, he's approaching that. Unless he's just going to break every, you know, trend ever and basically play in the Super Bowl every year of his career, he's kind of due for a patch where 2-3 years in a row, he like doesn't play in the Super Bowl. He's played in the AFC title game every year. He's played in the Super Bowl all but 2 years. So, I mean, you'd think at some point they just hit a stretch where, I mean, look, the Chargers are getting better with Harbaugh and Herbert, maybe Knicks and Peyton and Denver. You throw out Baltimore, Buffalo, maybe the AFC gets better and maybe they do hit a patch where they're not there for 2 or 3 years. Or you know what? Maybe we're doing this time next year. We're talking about Mahomes winning his fourth Super Bowl and the right back end. Yeah. It's fascinating to think about.
Listen, Mahomes, they've been to 7 AFC championships in a row and 4 out of the last 5 Super Bowls, right? Splitting the Super Bowls. And he's already won 3 Super Bowls, right? So, do I have that right? Yeah, 3. Yep. He's already won 3 and they've been to 4 out of the last 5. So, I mean, what they've done is just, you dream of that shit. But yeah, I mean, things happen with aging and, again, having, you know, when Andy Reid goes, things will change a little bit and they have to retool on offense. They definitely do. I just think if you're looking at teams, first of all, it says a lot that we already are thinking about next year because that game was such a boondoggle in terms of just being so dominant, a dominant performance by the Eagles. But I do think if you're a Philly fan, a Detroit fan, or a Washington fan, maybe not so much the Rams because I think your quarterback is older and you're just never sure about Stafford, but I don't know if you're a fan of those teams. I think you're way like the I think if I know me and my Skins fans friends today were like, wait a minute. This is like a good day for us. Kind of because Skins were much more competitive than the Chiefs were today. So I just think, I don't know those for as gaudy as those AFC teams have looked, the Bills and the Chiefs and how we thought of them. I don't know. Maybe the NFC teams are the ones that are the teams on the up and up in a way that gives their fans much more things to be hopeful about.
Next year's odds, Eagles, the short shot, 6-1, Chiefs, Bills, Ravens, all 7-1, Lions, 9-1, San Francisco, 15-1, which kind of has my attention a little bit. Washington, 18-1, Green Bay, 18-1, Cincy, all 18-1, Rams, 28, Chargers, 28-1, Texans, 30. I guess I'll stop there unless you want to have any other team in mind you want me to give you a price on. If I gave you, I don't know, a $500.
Skins, 18-1.
Wow.
To me, the Commanders, 18-1. Because it's not only that they have Jaden Daniels, it's that they have the best talent evaluator in football, in my opinion. And I mean, like, in a way that even Howie Roseman can't necessarily. You know, Howie Roseman drafted well at the top of drafts. He deserves all the credit for that. But, like, Adam Peters seems to have this Jimmy Johnson-like ability to be able to find anybody, you know, that off the free agent heap. And but Jimmy Johnson's case was that he knew college football so well he could draft players that were contributors. I just think he's really smart. And that's a team that if you can – I mean, we don't know about Myles Garrett, where he ends up – you just need, like, what Micah Parsons now they're talking about. I mean, if one of those guys were to end up in Washington, like, all of a sudden that 18-1 is probably cut in half. And so I don't know. I think that number of the ones you mentioned, like, at San Francisco, I'm not sure how that's 15-1 because this was their window. Debo wants out now. You know, I don't know. Have we sort of decided Purdy is what Purdy is, that he needs players around him?
I think if you're going to make the case for San Francisco at 15 to 1, which I would be inclined to make, it was, hey, you just throw this year out. They played in so many Super Bowls, so many title games. They needed to catch your breath here. They had injuries. They can rest. They can come back. And let's not forget, they're still loaded with talent. And, you know, would you be surprised? Would you be shocked if this time next year or next year they're 12 and 5, 13 and 4, and they look like the Niners of old?
No.
Now, maybe McCaffrey's shot. Maybe they move on from Debo. Maybe they did miss their window. But I still think there's a, you know, there's a scenario here where that talent kind of shows through.
Yeah, I think that there is a scenario, but I worry about McCaffrey too. I really do.
Yeah. My only concern with Washington 18 to 1 is you got Philly in your division. That team is still good. They're not going to be going anywhere. Maybe there's a Super Bowl hangover that's usually more towards the losing team. And if you don't win your division, like you could be in a Viking situation this year where you have a really good team. Defense gets better. You know, you got Daniels on a rookie quarterback. You have a legitimately very good, like B+, A- kind of team. But you end up like 12 and 5, 13 and 4 is a wild card. And then you got to win the 3 road games, which is obviously a very tough road to go through.
With all respect to the Super Bowl champions, they don't really dominate Washington. Like Washington kind of stares them in the face every game. And I know people are like, what are you talking about? They scored 55. They didn't really score 55, right? Like, I mean, it was a game before we started doing the fourth down stuff. And are you going to get turnovers like that? So
fumble the kickoff. Yeah.
Yeah. I just think that, and Washington beat them once. The other game was close for three quarters. I don't think it's that big of a disparity. I hear what you're saying, right? You always have those two teams in your division, or that team to worry about for sure. But I think they are like if you. I guess let's ask it this way: give me the handful of teams that can win a Super Bowl next year. I would say it's Philly, Washington, Detroit. Sorry, I can't say Minnesota.
I would agree. I would completely agree.
Green Bay, I don't know. They'll have to get something better on in terms of a pass rush. Rams, Niners, there's your NFC. Forget the South. And then I think at the AFC, it's Kansas City, Buffalo, Baltimore, right? The usual suspects. And if you believe in something like the Chargers or the Broncos,
Bengals,
then I guess
maybe, I don't know.
Bengals too, right? I think if you believe in that kind of stuff. But it's – I think people pretty much – I don't know, like – what's the one team of that group that you couldn't have necessarily foreseen from last year? It was Washington. As great as we thought, as great as some of us thought Jaden Daniels was and was the right pick, none of us could have imagined what he did. So what's the team that no one expects that could rise up next year? Arizona?
I think you got to... Murray gives you a decent floor because he can run around and he can be adequate as long as he's healthy. But I do think there's a little bit of a ceiling with his game.
Yeah. I don't know. There'll be
that's why the NFL is great because we could say, I mean, we will do it. We will sit here from, I mean, I know you got vacation coming up, but we will talk basically. Well, it's not that far from the draft process. We will talk from March until late August with all predictions and all different things. And there will be something that none of us sees coming because like you said, it's a small sample. It's not a round ball. It's an oblong object, and you know, weird things happen in a short amount of games, and that's why we love it. It's a very hard puzzle to solve.
Do you think that Andy Reid knew that
yes.
the Chiefs were not as good as their record showed?
Yes, and I think you're in the group chat where Bear sent it out. He goes, "Hey, for what it's worth." You know, I'm at the Super Bowl, and there's whispers Andy Reid is extremely concerned about this game. Did you see that text?
I don't remember that text.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah, it's late Saturday night. He goes, hey, I'm because he was in New Orleans with Fox, and he was doing the pregame. He goes, and he told me after who it was. He goes, there's concerns that – and it was mostly the – he said he's concerned with the offensive line. I said, which teams? And he goes, well, both, but he's worried that Philly's just a bad matchup for him.
Well, he was right about that.
He's right. He was right.
He was right.
How mad can you be? Brady, and here's the last thing I'll say about that. Brady was talking about, man, you lose the Super Bowl, you never get over it. You wake up the next day, you think it's a nightmare. It's very hard to compare the Super Bowl's Brady loss, where last second to the Giants where he's undefeated. In these heartbreaking games, this is a first-round knockout. This is Tyson Spinks. You get over this one. I've never lost a Super Bowl. I'm not in the game. I think if you're Reed, Mahomes, you won enough. You know what? It wasn't our night. We got killed. We get ready for next year. I don't think this is one where you lament a play here, a play there. There was no play here or play there.
I agree completely. Yeah. I think you're right. Jim Kelly famously, after the Bills lost 4 Super Bowls in a row and he had some perspective on it, he goes, in retrospect, the only game we really should have won was that Giants game. Like, we had no chance in the other three. against Washington and Dallas twice. I think there is something about a blowout. We know this in gambling too, right? If you lose a bet badly, sure, you're like, well, I mean, fucking, I got that one wrong, right? But the ones you remember are the ones where you're like, I cannot believe I fucking lost that.
0-11 in a tiebreaker. What was the 0-11 in break points or whatever the one you had?
Lulu's son this morning. Yeah. 0-11 in break points. Sure. Like, you know, at that point, you're just like, Jesus Christ. Like, what can you do? When it's like a $3 dog kind of thing. I just think it's a, I did not, you know, look, and I said it all week where it was like, I have Kansas City. I think Mahomes wins a tight game, but if you tell me it's a blowout, I know it's the Eagles that did it. And I think ultimately that's, and you were right too. It's like, we've been spoiled by these close games. Maybe we're due for one of these. The Eagles deserve it, man. They it was comprehensive. I don't know that there was a point in the season where I thought they were going to win the Super Bowl legitimately. I know there was like a 2 or 3 week stretch where people started to whisper it a little bit, just sort of remembering it. But man, those whispers ended up being correct. And then those whispers kind of went away after a while too. When Detroit still looked dominant, right? And the NFC North as a group looked great.
Right.
Philly, sneaky sort of Super Bowl champion, I think.
Yeah, I kind of summed them up just from a common fan standpoint pretty early on. Of like, we know they got a really good offensive line. They might have the best back in the league in Barkley. Brown and Smith are two top 15, 20-ish receivers. Hurts is a fringe top 10 quarterback. Goddard's a good tight end. And if you're going to have a good defense, and to me, that the defense – drafting well, drafting the Georgia guys, getting Dijon, all of these guys, man, that's a hell of a team. Last one before you go. How do you we got like a month now till March Madness, or at least till these conference tournaments starts, maybe like 3 weeks. How do you spend your betting? Is there more of like a work-life balance? Do you keep betting every day? What does the next few weeks look for, like for you until these conference tournaments and eventually the big dance starts?
I bet tennis every day. Every day. It is as much of my life as anything. And I love it more than anything. So betting tennis is a daily activity. Will I bet other sports though in the next the real question is, will I bet any other sport until the conference tournaments? And the answer to that might be no. I think that's where I sort of wind it down a little bit. Where like my quote unquote break is that I just do the thing I love the most. And then like, you know, the in-game college basketball for the next 2 weeks, I will not even be paying attention to it. And you know how that is for us, where we are constantly paying attention to it. But I will not, because I'll be on vacation. I'll just be like, I do not will need this as part of my life for the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's one of those all-in, all-out things. It's sometimes the need for action can get you in trouble and you look, what the hell did I just bet on? So yeah, plus White Lotus, I think, comes back a week from today.
Tomorrow,
White Lotus is coming back.
I've got a recommendation for you. The Fall of Diddy docuseries on HBO. Okay.
We'll end on that. Gilly, numbers game on Monday, and then you're off. Are you Monday, then you're off?
I always do the Monday morning show after the Super Bowl, and then I bounce.
All right, man. Well, beating the book, beating the book on X. What else are you plugging? You have anything else?
Next podcast will be for Indian Wells, which I will be heading to in person. Can't wait. Which is tennis's fifth major, which is at the beginning of March. So right the first with the one that's the small conference tournament week, I'll be there. And then for the big conference tournament week, I'm already excited for that part of college basketball. Like, I can't wait for that. This is what I mean. Being an American is so great, where we go from this now to that. Can't wait for that time of year, because that time of year is as exciting as all this was. And then after that, it's the NFL draft, you know, the Masters, the NFL draft. And then before we know it, we're like, oh my God, summer's here. When's football coming back?
Yeah, it's not, especially with the week 18 now. You get to the middle of February basically with football, and you kind of a week or two, you kind of bide your time, and all of a sudden these conference tournaments start, and you're back in good shape. Gilly, appreciate the time, man. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you, brother.
All right. Appreciate you guys listening. Thank you to Gil Alexander. We will be back Wednesday. Rate, review, subscribe, Apple reviews, Spotify reviews, anything you throw our way. We appreciate. We'll see you Wednesday.